Diana's eyes bled crimson as she yelled at me. I was used to her fury. I had seen it before. But the power that blasted off of her and shook the room was new. She was slipping, and I felt it. She was filled with fear and something darker I could feel lurking, waiting for its chance. I was losing her. Static hit the air, and a large TV in the center of the room blinked on. We turned toward it and took a step closer. Words scrolled along a small red banner at the bottom, telling us that this was a live feed. A man and a woman sat reclined in anchor chairs, their suits ripped and smeared with blood. They were dead, which meant Tobias was there.
Good evening, and welcome to KMN News at Night. Tonight's top story is a king with a broken crown that wasn't even his to begin with.
The woman shuffled the pages in front of her as she spoke, and her words made my jaw clench.
Now, Jill, this has been a story circulating for ages. A man gifted with a title and a throne, but childlike in his ideals, and no follow-through.
If you think about it, Anthony, it's pretty sad. A whole planet was destroyed because he just couldn't cut it.
I knew every jab was directed at me, but I didn't care. I had heard it all before. My concern wasn't for me, but for Diana. Every instinct I had was telling me we were on the cusp of something catastrophic.
Well, Jill, that's what happens when you send a boy to do a man's job. Speaking of jobs, let's check in with Casey for the weather.
The camera swung to the other side of the room, focusing on a woman standing with a small device in her hand. Her suit was also in tatters, and I could tell that Tobias's magic was the only thing keeping her upright. The screen behind her turned into a large map with what looked like clouds dancing across certain areas.
Thanks, Anthony and Jill. The forecast calls for clear skies and sunny weather for the next few days, but the incoming apocalypse may put a stop to that. If that happens, we may be looking at thunderous clouds as the realms rip open. Precipitation will be heavy, with a copper smell as his blood rains from the sky. We're predicting a few quakes, but those should subside before the planet tears itself apart. Back to you, Jill.
Thanks, Casey. When can we expect this drastic change?
Oh, very soon.
Can't wait.
I guess it would be a good idea for everyone to get inside, huh?
Oh, Anthony, there's no hiding from this. Now, we do have a special guest with us tonight. Quite a few, actually.
You know what, Jill? You're right. Now let's welcome our co-host tonight, Caden.
The camera swung again, and a jolt went through me. His suit was dark, and he had his feet propped up on a desk. I had seen him before, sitting atop a throne made of bones, wearing horned armor. He smirked out at me from the screen, his face wholly visible, and I got my first good look at my enemy. He was relaxed, as if his hands and the white shirt he wore beneath his suit were not stained with blood. His collar was unbuttoned, and I could see the glint of a silver chain around his neck. Caden licked his fingers clean and smiled at the camera. The air in the room shifted as Logan and Vincent popped in. They spoke over each other as Diana stared at the screen, her body unmoving.
Liam, it's on every channel, every station.
Caden just sat there, staring back as if he could see her. What?
Globally, we checked.
Where is it coming from? Can you pinpoint a location?
That's the thing. It's as if the frequency is coming from everywhere and nowhere at once. There's no way to turn it off.
My next questions died as Anthony started talking once more.
Now, Caden, please tell us, what exactly is the other world?
My adrenaline spiked, knowing this wasn't something mortals needed to learn. Not like this. Logan said they tried to stop the feed, but couldn't.
It sounds like something out of a movie. Am I right?
Caden sat up, leaning over the side of the table and clasping his hands together.
I can agree, but it is so much more. See, you all think monsters do not exist, that they are created from the imaginations of mortals. But you are oh so wrong. Every monster has an origin based in reality.
So you're saying every supernatural creature is real?
Everything and so much more. The only problem is that the population is practically non-existent in this realm.
How so?
I'll tell you a story. Once upon a time, in a world far, far away from here, lived a vile and vicious king, ruler to all and adorned by many, but he bore secrets. Dark, ghastly secrets he kept buried, even from the ones he claimed to love the most. He believed peace was achieved through force. He used and abused those under his command until they meant nothing to him any longer. Once his goal was achieved, they were discarded like trash. Then one day he bore a son, a being like him, pure of light and everything he wished for in his new world. His son was next in line to rule, but there was concern.
Concern?
Oh, yes. Concern he would be just like the ones before him, just like his father. The truth slowly came to fruition and friends turned to foes. There was an uprising. Blood of the gods spilled across stars you can't even see now. It was the gods' war, but it was so much more than that.
What happened next?
Well, what your legends say about the great and powerful Samkiel, he saved the world, did he not? Everyone that stood against them was locked away by his blood. Every realm, every world sealed. Well, for now, at least.
There was a loud thud as he slammed the Book of Azrael onto the desk. His smile was venom and rage as he glanced at the camera. Static sizzled in the air, oppressive, thick, and heavy. I was losing my patience. He spoke of my father and my world as if he knew them personally, yet I had no recollection of him or his name. I turned to Logan and Vincent.
Go see if you can find where he is. I need every celestial form here to room in searching. He cannot hide from us. Not when this is on every station around the world. Once you find him, summon me immediately.
They both nodded, before shooting from the room in a flash of blue light. Words from the screen filtered in as I glanced back at the TV. Caden's hands were covered in thick black gloves. He flipped through the Book of Azrael, as if it weren't a powerful, ancient, decaying artifact containing the means of my death.
That is such a sad story.
Is it? I like to think of it as a rebirth. A new beginning, some would say. See right here. This is the key to opening the realms now.
Such a pretty weapon.
I agree. And once I make it, this world will bleed. I am betting that there are thousands, if not millions, of pissed off beings looking for a little bit of payback.
Well, what happens to us mortals if this comes to pass?
Well, you die. Or you are all enslaved. It's really up in the air right now.
Well, that sounds lovely. Can't wait.
Now, usually we have a hot topic round sponsored by Jeff. But since you dismembered him, I guess you'll have to do the hot topic round. So tell us, Caden, what's the hot topic tonight?
Well, love, of course.
Love?
All eyes turned toward the camera, and I knew this next part was for Diana. I shifted closer to her.
Why, yes.
The stage is all yours.
Anthony and Jill froze in place, and I knew Tobias was slowly releasing his hold on them. They stared straight ahead as their eyes turned the glassy white of the dead.
Now, I know what you're all thinking, that I am evil incarnate, but you would be wrong. I love love. And no one loves harder than Diana.
A picture of Diana and me popped up on the screen, and I realized he had been a lot closer to us than I'd assumed. How had I not felt it? My gaze swung to Diana. She was fixated, her arms folded as she glared, radiating pure rage. As I studied her, I knew she had felt him. Those times she had those chills. She had sensed him, but hadn't known what it meant. Caden's eyes flashed red in the studio lights as he stood and moved closer to the camera. He removed the gloves, one finger at a time.
I gave her everything I could. A trade, some would say, for what she asked.
A picture of Diana popped up on the screen and stayed there, taking up one of the corners.
All that she is, all of her power, is because of me. Yet I've met dogs that are more loyal. She can't keep her legs closed. Not that I can complain. It only took me saving her sister before she let me bend her over. Which I'm sure she let you do too, Samkiel. I hope you enjoy her while you can. Because make no mistake, she will turn on you too.
I watched as he flicked his eyes towards someone off screen. The pictures faded, and his demeanor changed. Diana's stance did not waver. It was as if her body had turned to stone. I stood next to her, my gaze flicking between her and the screen as my gut churned. I had no idea what his plan was, but I couldn't leave to search for him. Not when she needed me.
Diana. You know better. You know I have eyes everywhere. This world belongs to me, my love. And I was never far away. Didn't you feel me?
My heart sank further, the pit of my stomach rolling. I was right. She had sensed him. It was inconceivable that I had not. How had I not known that he was so close? Not just once.
I'm just curious, though. What were your intentions with this failed relationship? Just for fun. Stopping me, saving the world, and then what? You think he loves you? Cares for you? Ask him how many men and women he has whispered those words to. How many have fallen at his feet, hoping to stand by his side. You are nothing to him, and you will never be. You are a monster, no matter what he tells you, no matter what you pretend. Do you think you could rule at his side, Diana? Even after I'm gone, do you think they would accept you? After everything you've done? He's truly immortal, Diana. Have you thought about that? We aren't. Do you really hate yourself so much that you would be comfortable being his consort for the rest of your life while he marries an actual queen? He will need an equal, someone to rule by his side, to bear his children into this perfect world of theirs.
Caden's nostrils flared and his fists clenched. Anger bubbled below the surface of his calm facade. His eyes burned with red embers, but then he glanced beyond the camera and seemed to remember that he was not alone.
Let's play a game. Say you two succeed. The realms are saved and people sing and cheer in the streets. Deep down, Diana, do you really think he would choose you after all of this is over? Be realistic. I don't. I think even if I don't win, you will still lose.
Caden paused for a moment, maybe realizing he had revealed too much. I glanced at Diana, and her body had gone so rigid that she looked like she would break with one touch. She was so closed off that I couldn't feel anything from her, which was terrifying. Diana was never contained.
No. Back to business. See, Here's the thing, Diana. I wanted you by my side, you know? My perfect, beautiful weapon for what's coming. But alas, you have chosen the wrong side. It's okay, though. I think I can forgive you and let you come home. I just need to teach you a lesson first.
He stopped speaking and waved someone forward. The camera panned back and turned slightly. The new angle allowed us to see Caden. Closed off corridor with a curtain above it and the audience. I looked closer and saw that the crowd was full of otherworld creatures. Eyes fluoresced in various colors, and I saw more than a dozen pairs of gleaming red eyes. The Irva Kuva stood in the back corridor with their wings spread, making sure no one tried to leave. There was a ripple as Drake stood and started toward Caden. My lips curled in a silent snarl at his betrayal of her friendship and love. How could he have done this to her? I had trusted him against my better judgment because she believed him to be her friend. The coward refused to look at the camera as he stepped beside Caden.
Come on, Drake. Center stage is yours, buddy. Drake told me about you and your new boyfriend's little trip to El Donuma. He told me when you would arrive, how long you stayed, and your next move. Camilla filled me in from there.
He waved toward the audience, and Camilla nodded, her head held high. I recognized several others. Santiago was there, his and Camilla's covens intermingled. Elijah sat next to a few mortals from the Cashevania embassy. I guess she was not the only one betrayed. It seemed some of the mortals under my jurisdiction had switched sides too. Pure, unadulterated rage made my rings vibrate, and I could feel the heat behind my eyes. I reached out, placing my hand on Diana's arm. Her skin beneath the shirt felt heated. I rubbed my thumb in small, slow circles, trying to ground her and let her know I was here for her, even if those she had trusted most were not.
True loyalty from the beginning, Diana. Why don't you head back to your family, old friend?
Drake strode away from Caden without looking at the camera once. I watched as he joined Ethan and a dark-haired woman I assumed was Ethan's wife. The wife who had been too busy to greet us while we were staying in Zaral. The pieces started to click together, and I didn't like the picture they made. Had they sold Diana out for the wife?
You see, Diana.
I needed to get Diana away from the pull he had on her. He sliced her open with every word, and I could feel the grip he had on her tightening. It was like talons dipped in acid digging into her, even from a distance. Diana, remember what I taught you. Do not let him bait you. I couldn't tell if she heard me or not. Her eyes were glazed and unfocused as she stared straight ahead. Caden's voice cut in, followed by a whistle as he looked directly into the camera.
Tobias, if you would be so kind, there is one last thing I would like to show my sweet, precious girl.
The camera shook as Tobias stepped out from behind it, turning to flash an ice-cold grin I knew was meant for Diana. He disappeared behind the large dark curtain and returned, dragging a hooded figure with him. The woman struggled against him, kicking her legs but failing to gain traction against the slick floor. Tobias threw her at Caden's feet. Caden leaned down and grabbed her under her arm with one hand before pulling the hood off with the other. Gabriella. I heard it then, in sync with my own, the pounding of her heart and mine. They beat rapidly, mine bashing itself so hard against my ribs that I wondered if it would burst. We watched as Gabby kicked out and Caden dropped her. She tried to scoot away, but several of Caden's Irva Kuva snarled and snapped behind her, forcing her to stop. Diana jerked away from my touch to drop to the floor in front of the TV. I didn't think she was even aware of how close she got as her hands gripped the sides of the screen. Caden signaled one of the Irva Kuva, who grabbed Gabby by the arm. The creature looked at Caden, and when he nodded, tossed Gabby toward him. He dragged her closer to the camera.
Do you like the present Drake brought me, Diana? He even snagged me a member of the Hand. Say hello to Big Sister now.
I hope you rot in whatever dimension you're from. Permanently!
Feisty, isn't she? Just like her sister.
I wanted to rip every single one of them to pieces. White-hot rage skittered through my body at the blatant disrespect. They would pay. I would make sure of it. Caden's eyes were bright red as he held her close. She glared at the camera with all the fury she could muster, even as her eyes filled with tears.
Now, is there something you want to say to Big Sis? You know she's watching.
Gabby's eyes bored into the screen in silent desperation. It wasn't for herself, but for the one she knew stared back at her. The one person who had given up her life for hers. Her eyes clouded with unshed tears as the world held its breath. Even the creatures behind Caden were silent. It was a defining moment in what was to come. Caden held the world in his grasp, and he reveled in it.
Remember. Remember that I love you.
Caden jerked upright, taking Gabby with him as he stood.
See? That wasn't so hard, was it? And they say I'm cruel. Would you like to see the true beast that rests under Diana's pretty skin, Samkiel? Do you think you will care for her still? Let's find out.
He did it so quickly that it even startled me. But we all heard it. I felt it resonate through the ties that made me a protector of this realm. No one moved. No one breathed. It was as if time had slowed down. I watched the light leave her eyes. Caden turned away with a satisfied smirk. Gabby's small, lifeless hand was outstretched, attempting to reach through the screen, desperate for the one she loved the most. I flexed my hand as a blinding white heat danced across my palm. I glanced down, and my heart stuttered as a glowing yellow line seared across my palm, bright and iridescent, before disappearing. The blood deal had reached its completion in the most horrid way.
Blood of my blood, my life is sealed with yours until the deal is made complete. I grant you my maker's life in exchange for my sister's life. She shall remain free, unharmed, and alive, or the deal is broken.
I smelled it before I saw it. A single tilt of her head, and a world-shattering boom filled the room. It was so loud and painful that it shook the building, and I knew it could be heard throughout the realms. Wings and scales replaced skin and limbs as the beast ripped its way into the world. The flames that erupted from her were so hot and bright that they blinded me. The force of her massive tail slammed me through walls, concrete, and glass. My vision was consumed with the inferno as the building was engulfed. My head throbbed and my ears rang as I sat up, cupping them. My clothes were burned and torn. Clinging to me where they had melted into my skin. I patted out some embers along my sleeve as another soul-shattering scream split the air. My dreams came flooding back, and I realized I had gotten it wrong. My translation was mistaken. There were too many words and languages in my brain.
This is how the world ends.
No. That's what Rakuram said.
There will be a shuddering crack, an echo of what is lost and what cannot be healed. Then, Samkiel, you will know this is how the world ends.
But it was not this world. No, it was mine. It was Diana.
Gods and Monsters 1, The Book of Asriel, Book 2 of 2, by Amber V. Nicole, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2023, Amber V. Nicole, 2023, Rose and Star Publishing. All rights reserved. Recorded with permission of the licensor. 2025, Graphic Audio, LLC. All rights reserved. Unauthorized download and/or duplication is prohibited. Narrated by Gabriel Michael and Marissa Clay, with Gabriel Michael as Sam Keel and Liam, and Marissa Clay as Diana. Also with Rob Moreira as Drake, with additional performances by Marlon Dance-Hui, Daniel Yaka, Fabiola Da Silva, Brew Adju, Rainer Gabriel, Ozzy Jacobs, Michael John Casey, Nora Safayan, Tatiana Ridgway, James Lewis, Matthew Bassett, Scott McCormick, Lamont Rigel, Jerry J. Marshall, Torian Brackett, Dominique Salvation, Damon Allums, Jessica Sly, Troy Allen, Yasmin Toison, Christopher Walker, Keith Charles, Gerald Hill, Zaleka Vundla, Drew Copus, Julian Irons, Crystal Lee, Jonathan Lee Taylor, Christopher Williams, Experience J, and Don Ursula. Adapted for graphic audio by Crystal Judkins. Directed by Crystal Judkins. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Molly Creerand and Maddie Pham Martino. Produced by Colleen Delaney, Scott McCormick, David Zitney, Casey Green, and Aaron Coe. Executive producers Angie Cornett, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. If you enjoyed Gods and Monsters 1, The Book of Asriel, Book 2 of 2, keep listening for a sample of Crescent City 1, House of Earth and Blood, Book 1 of 2. All these titles and many more are now available at www.graphicaudio.net.
Bryce cleared the alley, careening onto bustling Central Avenue, the street full of fleeing people and honking cars. She leapt over their hoods, scaling them one after another, every movement as smooth as one of her dance steps. Leap, twirl, arch, her body did not fail her, not as she followed the creature's rotting stench to another alley, another and another. They were almost at the Istros. A snarl and roar rent the air ahead. It had come from another connected alley, more of a dead-end alcove between two brick buildings. She hefted the table leg, wishing she'd grabbed Danica's sword instead, wondering if Danica had even had time to unsheathe it. No. The sword was in the gallery, where Danica had ignored Jessica's warning and left it in the supply closet. Bryce launched herself around the alley's corner. Blood everywhere. Everywhere. And the thing halfway down the alley, not Vanir. Not one she'd encountered before. A demon? Some feral thing with smooth, near-translucent gray skin. It crawled on four long, spindly limbs, but looked vaguely humanoid. And it was feasting on someone else. On a Malak. Blood covered the angel's face, soaking his hair and veiling the swollen, battered features beneath. His white wings were splayed and snapped. His powerful body arced in agony as the beast ripped at his chest with a maw of clear, crystalline fangs that easily dug through skin and bone. She did not think, did not feel. She moved, fast like Randall had taught her, brutal like he'd made her learn to be. She slammed the table leg into the creature's head so hard that bone and wood cracked. It was thrown off the angel and whirled, its back legs twisting beneath it while its front legs, arms, gouged lines in the cobblestones. The creature had no eyes, only smooth planes of bone above deep slits.
its nose. And the blood that leaked from its temple, it was clear, not red. The Malak male, groaning some wordless plea as the creature sniffed at her. She blinked and blinked, willing the Lightseeker and Murthroot out of her system, willing the image ahead to stop blurring. The creature lunged, not for her, but the angel, right back to the chest and heart it was trying to get to, the more considerable prey. Bryce launched forward, table leg swinging again. The reverberations against bone bit into her palm. The creature blindly surged at her. She dodged, but its sharp, clear fangs ripped her thigh clean open as she twisted away. She lost her balance and swung upward as it leapt again, this time for her throat. Wood smashed those clear teeth. The demon shrieked so loudly that her fey ears nearly ruptured, and she dared all of one blink. Claws scraped, hissing sounded, and then it was gone.
Thanks for listening to this Graphic Audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,700 titles to choose from. Listen to over 225 binge-worthy series. We feature titles in genres like science fiction, fantasy, romantasy, westerns, mystery thrillers, comics, and more. Check out our exclusive series such as Deathlands, Rogue Angel, Outlanders, Tangent Knights, and Agent of Exiles, which are only available in our dramatized adaptation format. Experience a radically different type of audiobook produced with a full cast, sound effects, and cinematic music. Listen to a movie in your mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Our dramatized adaptation titles are available at all major audiobook retailers and platforms. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and other social platforms. For more information and samples of all our titles, visit our website at graphicaudio.net.